You're listening to Sister Stargazers, celestial and terrestrial observations and advice from two real-life sisters.
Welcome, fellow stargazers. Your sisters are in the house today. Hi, Jude.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm talking at my phone.
I know. We are experiencing some technical difficulties, but we are so committed to bringing the astro news to our fellow stargazers that we're sort of rigging this somehow, and we're going to hope that the quality is okay.
Neither time nor space nor technology can keep us from our stargazer duties.
That's like, we're like the postal service of the stars. Neither wind nor sleet. Okay, well, episode 30 is this week. We're going to cover Sunday, April 3rd through Saturday, April 9th. And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of some transits this week. So where should we start?
Yeah, we can start on Sunday. The moon conjuncts Uranus, which can put a flavor of surprise to the week. And Uranus is in Taurus. Taurus loves stability. Uranus is one of the most unstable planets. It loves surprise. So, I mean, Uranus has been responsible for a lot of upsets. Yeah. And also, though, our sense of freedom, commitment to new ways of understanding. And it's been in the square to Saturn for the last year or so. And it will be again later this year. So it has moved out of orbit. It's in a separating square right now. So there's a little less of that happening, a little less of that tension that we experienced last year.
Right.
However, the moon conjunct Uranus on Sunday can give us a sense of like a little bit on edge. On the positive sense, it can give us a sense of spontaneity.
Okay.
And then as the moon moves into Monday, it will square Saturn. So the moon hooks up with Uranus on Sunday. On Monday morning, it squares Saturn. So this, again, is kind of highlighting this Saturn-Uranus square, which is kind of doing a reprieve. Along with this on Monday is this exact conjunction of Mars to Saturn.
Okay.
So there's there's a lot of focus on Saturn just between coming up on Sunday with that moon conjunct Uranus and then that moon square Saturn and then the Mars conjunct Saturn. So it's all about kind of stop and go.
Okay.
On the highest level, Mars can give you a real kick in the butt.
Right.
To put your Saturn discipline plan into action, right?
Yeah.
On another level, it can be like the war drums. It can be driving with your foot on the brake and the gas at the same time. So,
right.
You don't go anywhere because your plans are not realizable because they're not well planned.
And right.
You've got all this juice to go, but there's nothing to go to. So it's all about discipline and endurance that are required now.
We can use the Mars energy, but we're better to structure it less impulsive, more strategic.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. Yeah. There's a real urge to control.
Mm.
Mars wants to throttle everything. It's definitely on the positive side. Mars and Saturn can be seen beautifully in the sky on pre-dawn on Tuesday morning. So if you wake up before sunrise, Saturn will be in the east southeast sky and Mars will be just 0.4 degrees below Saturn. So they'll be, basically you'll be looking at them separating.
Right.
They'll be just so close, though. Saturn is fainter and Mars has kind of a red tinge to it, orangey red. And Saturn's is kind of a yellow white, but very, smaller. It's going to be there. It's visual astrology. You can see it on the morning of Tuesday the 5th.
Yeah. And if you can get some photos, just send us an email and we'd love to post them. Or you can post them on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. And then Venus is just 7 degrees beyond that. So Venus has, this is the next story of the week. Following this Mars-Saturn conjunction, we have Venus entering Pisces on the 5th.
Okay.
So Venus and Mars were in a conjunction with Saturn.
In Aquarius.
Yes, at the time of the previous new moon on the 1st.
Right.
And now Mars has made an exact conjunction to Saturn. And now Venus is the faster-moving planet. She's moved on into Pisces.
Right.
So Venus is exalted in Pisces. That means it's like going to visit one of your most favorite ever places and just feeling so cozy and, you know, hospitable and everything's wow. perfect. That's Venus in Pisces. And what Venus is going to do there is she's going to support what's happening in Pisces right now, which is this Jupiter-Neptune conjunction.
Right.
Which is in orb, so it will be giving us a far greater sense of compassion.
Yes.
It will help us to really see the suffering in the world like we've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And ask ourselves, why? Why is this? Why is this happening? There's so much suffering. And we can tangibly, you know, it will affect us all in different ways, but there's a real sense that we can't turn away now. That,
right.
That there's so much that we need to be understanding of and hold compassion for. And this is what Venus will help us to do while she's in Pisces.
Right.
The perfection of this Jupiter-Neptune conjunction will be on the 12th, but it's within orb now. And I think by the 8th, it will be on the degree at 23 degrees. And by the 12th, it will be exact to the minute. So we are certainly being called on to raise our frequency. And,
yes.
you know, that's thrown around a lot, that whole term, raise your frequency.
Right.
But what it means is, you know, come up with another way of seeing the world.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the way we've seen the world before, the way we can turn away, the way we can say, oh, that's happening in another country.
Whoa.
Those people don't look like us.
Right.
That's too bad, but there's nothing we can do about it. That's where it stops. This is where it stops, right here in this conjunction of Jupiter and Neptune.
Right.
There is every person through prayer, through donation, through whatever it is you can do, every person has a choice, has a difference they can make. And this is what's being asked of us now, to kind of rise up. This is happening in Pisces too. It's kind of like we are all in this.
There yes, is no, the collective.
We are a human family. This is
right.
human. This is a humankind. We are all in this together.
Yes.
It's not us against them. We are all in this. How is it in your own life where there is conflict? How can you raise that up so that that conflict is resolved?
That's what I was going to say. It's sort of like, I've heard this analogy too, of like the human race as the human body. If you've got an injury or infection in one part of the body, the rest of your body knows. And it's sort of the same way in the world, that we are all this collective body, that we really can't ignore the pain that's on the other side of the globe, as more convenient that might be. And then how can we in this collective body work on the places that we can find for healing, and that healing will actually spread to other points of the world. So it's like you can start at home, like you're saying, the conflicts or the things that need attention in your own life on a personal level that can actually have a greater consciousness, awareness, awakening more collectively.
Absolutely.
To bring this back to the astrology just for a minute, we were talking earlier too that Mars and Saturn right now are in Aquarius, which is very left brain, engineering, Venus moving into Pisces is moving more into heart, leaving the head and acting from the heart.
Yes, thank you, Sarah. That's really it. Aquarius is very cool. It's very detached.
That's what I was trying to say, detached.
Yes, it's like unemotional. It's unsentimental.
Mm.
It looks at things without feeling.
Right.
It doesn't like the feeling part. That's messy.
Mm.
It gets in the way
right.
of the cool, detached, technological, savvy, progressive, you know. The emotions are our friend.
Yeah.
You know, the emotions, the heart, that's the part that we have been trained out of.
Right.
And yeah. it's time to retrain ourselves.
Yeah.
In all aspects, like in education,
yes.
in the arts, in the sciences, all of it. You know, where's the heart in any of this?
Yeah.
It's not all about statistics and facts and figures and audience development and implementation and all of those words that are thrown around. It's about the heart of the matter, whether what we're doing has any relevance at all.
Yeah. What was the other thing you were going to bring up? Or you were about to say something?
I was going to go on to talk about Mercury sextile Saturn on Thursday.
Right. Mercury has a couple sextiles. Can you remind us what a sextile is or what the flow of a sextile is?
A sextile is a 60-degree angle. It's a harmonious aspect, and it relates to progress and the sharing of energy between the two planets. So Mercury is sextile Saturn on Thursday. And Mercury's in Aries. It just passed the sun.
Oh, that's right.
It was involved with the April 1st new moon.
New moon, yeah.
Yeah, so Mercury's in Aries, and Aries is a fire sign. Mm. And Saturn is in Aquarius, which is an air sign. So air feeds fire. So there's this flow, positive, beneficial for both planets, flow between the two planets. So Mercury will borrow some of Saturn's discipline and rationale, and Saturn will borrow some of Mercury's concentration and communication skills.
Okay.
So there's a lot of détente that can happen on Thursday the 7th.
Is that an astrological term?
No, that's a diplomatic term.
Oh, détente. Okay, yep. Got it. Thank you.
So structured talks.
Okay.
Discussion that's focused and organized and serious and agreeable. You know, both parties want to move along and form some kind of, not so much a partnership, but they want to discuss mutually beneficial ideas.
Okay.
So there's that on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have Mercury sextiling Mars.
Okay.
So because Mars and Saturn are so closely conjoined, Mercury first does a little call on Saturn and says, hey, you know, let's get this planet in action. And then Mercury sextiles Mars, which is really making a decision, asserting the ideas, being practical in the solution, starting the work. Mercury is in Aries, so it's an initiatory sign. Mercury is all about getting those ideas out there, starting the work. Let's get the progress going.
Okay.
So there is this sense that by Friday the 8th, we have passed through something. This Mars conjunct Saturn is serious. It's a serious aspect. It can take you to the next level, or it can also cause accidents. It can be irrational and impulsive.
Right.
So it really behooves us to be very discerning about where we put our energy and to stick with it, like to not get too scattered at the beginning of the week, because Mars will have a tendency to just want to just bulldoze.
Yes.
But if you can kind of pull in your reins and really remain focused, you can get a lot of mileage out of this aspect. And by the end of the week, you may be able to even further implement the ideas that you started at this time of the new moon. So it could be a really productive week. I just want to make sure that we also look at our personal Mars energy and the way that we assert ourselves.
That's ego, isn't it? Would that be fair to say? You know, and trying to step back from ego-driven motives, maybe, and then to remember to connect with our heart as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as we come into Saturday, there's the first quarter moon. So it's a waxing moon. The moon's in Cancer, squaring the sun in Aries. So there is that quality of care, of nurturing. And then the tension is where the urge is to move forward with the sun in Aries and to, you know, to try to get things done. And Aries is also Mars's home.
Yes.
So Aries being prominent is also another way of saying there's a lot of that energy out there for pushing forward.
Right.
And if we have a plan, we can really harness that. And if we don't, we can at least, before we take any steps, we can put things down on paper and kind of work something up. So that is also favored. What isn't favored is this rash, impulsive movement forward without any regard, exactly. Which is what Mars loves to do.
Exactly. Sad but true.
So that's
well, there it
the
is.
Week.
Yeah. And then there are heart exercises one can do, you know, just the simple fact of putting your hand on your heart to center yourself and remind yourself of your heart, which is your body's engine, and it actually feeds the brain, and your heart can actually tell your brain what to do instead of vice versa. So encouraging people to get centered with your heart.
Yes, and there's a wonderful exercise, that heart math, and yes. You can look this up. Heart math it's a decades-old organization that has been working on understanding the role of the heart in all of our actions and interactions. And the heart has a magnetic field that is more powerful than the brain, yeah. And sends out that field in all directions.
Yeah.
Much farther out. So your magnetic heart is where all of the meridians of the body meet.
Yes.
They meet in the heart. So yes, putting your both hands on your heart and breathing as if you are breathing through your heart, to visualize your breath flowing in and out, not just of your lungs, but through your heart. Your heart is right centered between your two lungs.
Yeah.
So when you visualize that, you can actually send out into your own personal field a quiet, steady, vibratory hum that is calming and centering.
Beautiful. Excellent. Well, thanks, Jude. And
it's a good week for that.
It is
absolutely
a good week. Well, we hope all you fellow stargazers are able to use some of this week's information. You can connect with us on email at connect@sisterstargazers.com. If you have questions or if you want a personal reading, I know Jude is interested in working with lots of you out there for your own personal insights to your charts and aspects and transits and all that. So until next week, I hope this worked. I hope this connection is good.
I think it's great.
Thanks for being flexible. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later.
Love you. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Sister Stargazers. Let us know what worked for you this week. Find us on Facebook and post a comment at Sister Stargazers.